What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Cam Silver, back with you once again for another episode of the Silver Boys Podcast. Yes, it is going to be just me on this episode because Kyle sadly had to work today, so I will be the one bringing you everything on my reactions from this past weekend from both college football and the NFL. But let's get right into it. So, looking at this past weekend, so we had the first round of the college football playoffs for the 12 team, and yeah, it was kind of trended right into the way that I thought that it would. Indiana fell short to Notre Dame 27-17. Most of that game was a blowout. Indiana at the end tried to do some window dressing, tried to come back, but it was too little too late. Penn State blew out SMU 38-10. SMU just looked like they just were not prepared. Texas beats Clemson. Texas, for the most part, was out in front. Clemson actually strikes first. Simpson comes back. Texas comes back and starts doing their thing. And then Clemson tries to come back in around like third quarter, fourth quarter, but just couldn't do much with Texas as they were out in front by too much. And then Ohio State and Tennessee, the game that we had deemed the game of the week, the game that most people had deemed game of the week, Ohio State ends up winning that one 42-17, as it wasn't even a competition. But yeah, the first round, well, like I said, the first round went more than likely exactly how I expected it. Just looking at just going back into some of these games, man, Notre Dame just looked, they just looked unstoppable. Jeremiah Love had that big run in the first quarter, a 98-yard touchdown, and then after that they just didn't look back. They went up 27-3 with 4 minutes and 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter, but like I said, Indiana tried to make a comeback within like the last like 2 minutes of the game, but it was just too much for them. Should have been a lot more. Coach Kirk Cignetti for Indiana should have been a lot more aggressive, in my opinion. Kind of a little too conservative for a playoff game, especially for a team that has never even sniffed the playoffs in Indiana. So would have liked to see them a lot more conservative, but I guess you live and you learn. So who knows, maybe next year, if they could come back next year, but we'll see. Things change so much in college football nowadays. So that will be something to watch. But Notre Dame will now move on to go face Georgia. That is going to be a great game, and we will preview that one in a little bit. Moving on to Penn State and SMU. Like I said, SMU just looked like they were not prepared. Quarterback for SMU, Kevin Jennings, 20 for 36, 195 yards. He had one touchdown, but he had three interceptions. It seemed like every time that Penn State was able to get pressure on him, he would panic and basically throw the ball to the other team. He threw two pick sixes within the first two quarters of the game. So from then on, he kind of just knew that Penn State was going to end up rolling with this one. And then on offense, I mentioned their two running backs in Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton last week, and they did their things this past weekend. Catron Allen had 11 carries, 70 yards, two touchdowns. Nicholas Singleton, 14 carries, 90 yards, and a touchdown. So wasn't much that SMU could do with them. Good to see Penn State win one of these big games, and now the game gets even bigger as they go on to face Boise State and Heisman runner-up in Ashton Dinty. Moving on to Clemson and Texas. Kyle was very adamant that this was a must-win for Texas. Texas had to win convincingly by at least two scores, and that's exactly what they did, 38-24. Was a little worried because, you know, sometimes they stall. Sometimes Quinn Ewers looks like he's not on the same page as everybody else, but for the most part, they did really, really, really well. And the running backs were actually the real key here. Jaden Blue had 14 carries, 146 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Quatrivion Wisner, 15 carries, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns. When your top two running backs are able to rush for over 200 yards, rush for over 100 yards, especially 146 and 110 for 2 touchdowns, you're more than likely not going to lose that game. They were able to control the ground. And then after that, it was able to open up some things for Quinn Ewers and during the passing game as well. And yeah, just very impressed with the Texas. Very impressed to see how they bounced back from a heartbreaking loss to Georgia this past weekend. Not this past weekend, but the weekend beforehand in the SEC championship. And now they will go on ahead and they will face off with Arizona State, the Big 12 champions. So that will be something to watch and something that we will preview in a little bit. And then going to Ohio State and Tennessee. Obviously, everybody was so worried about Ohio State after they had, kind of didn't do what they were supposed to do against Michigan, but they came out strong and they came out hot early and often. They came out to a 21-0 lead in the first quarter. Tennessee tried to fight back and made it 10-21 by the end of the first half, but then after that, 2 touchdowns in the third quarter basically blew this game wide open. Ohio State goes up 35-10 and then ends up winning, 42-17 as the end game at the end of the game was basically, just window dressing, trying to make it seem like the game wasn't as out of hand as it seemed, but it really was. Tennessee just looked like they didn't belong there. Will Howard bounced back game was pretty good. Threw for 11, 311 yards and 2 touchdowns and an interception. Travion Henderson had 10 carries, 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jeremiah Smith, the guy that they should be getting the ball to almost every single play when they're dropped back and passing, either him or Ebuka. But Jeremiah Smith had 6 receptions, 103 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So Ohio State looked very good in their first round matchup, and now they're going ahead and rematch with Oregon in the Rose Bowl, which I believe is going to be more than likely the game of the week coming up for New Year's because they played each other in October, and that will be fun to watch and fun to preview. But for right now, let's preview Penn State and Boise State. Like I said, Penn State coming off of that big win against SMU in the first round, doing a really good job of just keeping SMU in check, and now they will face off against Ashton Jeancey and this Boise State offense. Oh man, Ashton Jeancey, man, he was a runner up for Heisman for a reason. This season, he had 344 carries, 2,497 yards, averaged 7 yards per carry on 29 touchdowns. So, depending on how well this game goes, if he does what he needs to do, and maybe even the team wins, then after that he could for sure break the all-time rushing record in college, which would be very monumental. But in this one, I gotta side with Penn State. Penn State has played teams like Oregon, which Boise State played Oregon. They played them in the beginning of the season, lost to them only by 3. But Penn State has rivaled with Oregon and with Ohio State, and even though that they lost, they did have close games against both. And with Oregon, if it wasn't for a couple of mistakes, or if it wasn't for a few stints on defense where they let Oregon score, I think they would have easily. They would have more than likely won, and then after that, we'd be talking about them in a different light. But here they are going up against Boise State and the Fiesta Bowl in Phoenix. That will be fun. But I do believe that Penn State will, I'm not gonna say upset because I guess they are the lower seed, so technically it's an upset, but it's not really an upset. But I do have Penn State going and winning that one. I believe that Penn State's ground game with their two-headed monsters and Singleton and Allen will be too much. Drew Aller is a really good quarterback. He can get it out to his receivers, and Tyler Warren, their best receiver, who's their tight end, has been doing his thing this season. And he's received for over 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns this year. So, Penn State, you could book that one in for me. Going to the rest of the matchups. So number five, Texas versus number four, Arizona State. I have Texas still believe in them. Quinn Ewers, I still believe in their run game, and I think that they have the best defense in the country other than Georgia. But yes, Texas, I believe, is this is the perfect time to for them to show everybody who they really are. Arizona State, who is a great story, and I guess now instead of Indiana, now they are the Cinderella. They, came on the scene and bust on the scene out of nowhere. They were predicted to be last in their own conference. So just the fact that they're not last, and the fact that they were able to outlast teams like BYU and Iowa State in the Big 12 championship shows a lot. But Texas will have their handful with Cam Scattable, who in their win against Iowa State, he has 16 carries, 170 yards, and two touchdowns, and he averaged 10.6 yards per carry. So that will, I know for sure, that will be a staple for Texas to make sure that they bottle him up and they keep him, to eliminate gains, because he was going crazy in the Big 12 championship. But yeah, like I said, Texas for me on this one, they're the favorites. They actually opened up to a 14-point favorite. I believe that they can and will match that, and I believe that they can and will run away with this game in the end. Going to the game of the weekend for me personally, and Ohio State and Oregon. This is a rematch, like we've been talking about. This is a rematch from earlier in the season in October, and Oregon won by one. So obviously that game could have gone either way. And this is in a Rose Bowl, which, if you know anything over these past, years, basically, the Rose Bowl has been like one of the places where almost anything can happen. A team can go up by two, three touchdowns, and the next thing you know, they end up losing the game because the Rose Bowl is just that crazy. The momentum swings in that stadium are insane. So I believe that we're gonna get a tough back and forth game where both teams are trying to prove that they are the best team in the country, let alone just, just this bracket. So this is a tough one. I want to believe in Oregon and Ohio State, but it just feels like this year is Oregon's year. It just feels like this year is Oregon's year. In the beginning, they looked a little slow, but then as the season went along, they started to pick up speed and they started to get some big and quality wins coming up on the end. So just for them to stay and keep that number one seed for basically the whole year has been impressive to me. But yeah, I'm a side with Oregon. Obviously, wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State were to win, but I believe that Oregon can and will come out of this one. And going to the last game of the quarterfinals, yes, is the All-State Sugar Bowl with Notre Dame and Georgia. Now, here's the kicker: Georgia will not have their starting quarterback in Carson Beck. Carson Beck had an up and down year, but he got hurt in the SEC championship. And now I have to actually look up this kid's name. Now, Georgia will be looking to this guy named Gunnar Stockton. In the game against the SEC championship against Texas, he was 12 for 16, threw for 71 yards, and he had an interception. But I will say that Georgia is going to be in pretty good hands for the most part, as they have Trevor Etienne, who rushed for 16 carries, 94 yards, and two touchdowns, who's arguably one of the most explosive guys in the country right now. Still has pretty good receivers and Austin Delp, Arian Smith. Trevor Etienne can play out of the backfield, and if Georgia's not one, they're number two when it comes to defense, just behind Texas, in my opinion. So it's going to be a tough one. Notre Dame has been coming along very well. They're on, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they're on like an 11 to 12 game win streak right now. So they are doing their thing right now. Just coming off a big win against Indiana. So this is the perfect time for Notre Dame to come in, and honestly, this would be the upset pick right here. This would be a big time upset, even though that Georgia doesn't have their starting QB. But I believe that if Notre Dame could come out with this. If it's gonna have to be, I believe it's going to have to be forcing Georgia to throw the ball. Don't try to stop their run game. Trevor Etienne is too good. They have a great offensive line that can make things happen for Etienne and create holes for him in running lanes. So I believe that they're gonna have to make Stockton be the inexperienced kid that he is and make him throw the ball. If they do that, I think Notre Dame could win it. But I believe Georgia's defense is just a little too good, and I believe that Georgia will be going on to the semifinals. So that is going to be fun to see. Can't wait to see the rest of these games. Boise State and Penn State will be starting us off on New Year's Eve, and then after that, we'll come in the rest of the games on New Year's Day. But yes, college football, the playoff bracket so far, it's okay. Just a little side note. I know, like, obviously people were all up in arms about Indiana SMU, because they got blown out. Yeah, that it happens. It's the first round. It was more likely going to happen than anything. Nothing surprising for me personally. Nothing that I didn't think was going to be a possible outcome. In my opinion, honestly, the only surprising one or the most disappointing one, technically, I guess, was Ohio State. But also, Ohio State was playing with their backs against the wall, people doubting them, people hating the fact that they lost to Michigan. I seen a feature piece on ESPN where there were fans talking about how they were, even if they won a national championship, they'd still classify this season as a disappointing season because they lost to Michigan. So yeah, that's crazy in itself. But like I said, it's the playoffs, so obviously anything can happen. But like I said, the first round wasn't much of a surprise to me, just wish that the games were a lot closer. But I believe that these quarterfinals will be. But just going back and reiterating my game picks. So like I said, I had Penn State winning against Boise State. I have Texas winning against Arizona State. I have Oregon once again just speaking out on Ohio State. Wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State would have come out on top, but honestly, I think that one is an evenly matched game. Both are very talented teams that can do a lot. And then I have Georgia just squeaking out on Notre Dame, and I believe that will be a defensive battle. But moving on to the NFL is gearing up for their own playoffs right now, and a lot of crazy things happened this past week where Baltimore was able to beat the Steelers, and now they are officially in the playoffs. Kansas City is still able to escape Houston. Sadly, Houston loses one of their best receivers in Tank Dell again. He had a dislocated kneecap, and he will be gone for the rest of the season. Atlanta beats the Giants. Michael Penix Jr. had his first game as a starter in the NFL, and he did all right. Due for over 200 yards. He had an interception, which really wasn't his fault. That was on Kyle Pitts, because Kyle Pitts couldn't corral the ball in. But other than that, Penix did look pretty good in my opinion. So it's going to be telling what's going to happen next week, as they have the Commanders, and they are also now officially, I think they're officially first in the division after the Bucks lost to the Cowboys. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. The Rams were able to beat the Jets 19-9, which was pretty good for the Rams, as they are still trying to keep up top at their division in the NFC West. The Panthers end up upsetting the Cardinals, and with the Cardinals losing and the Rams winning, the Cardinals are now officially out of the playoffs. So one team has officially been eliminated for the Rams so the Rams don't have to worry about them. The Commanders shocked the Eagles. The Eagles could have taken the division, but I believe Jalen Hurts leaving the game in the first quarter with a concussion really did hurt them. Saquon Barkley, once again, stellar, 29 carries, 150 yards, and two touchdowns. AJ Brown, 8 receptions, 97 yards, and touchdown, but just wasn't enough for them. Kenny Pickett did all right, 14 for 24, 143 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. But Jaden Daniels, man, he easily right now, you could stamp him in as rookie of the year. with no hesitation. 24 of 39, 258 yards, 5 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions, but the 5 touchdowns obviously ended up outweighing the 2 interceptions. He did his thing and was able to keep the Commanders' hopes alive for a playoff bid. So that will be a team that will not be an easy out. The Lions end up beating the Bears so that they could stay up at the top of the NFC as they are still in a dogfight. Their season is going to come down basically to the end so that they could keep that spot because the Vikings are literally right on the tail as they beat the Seahawks 24 to 20, 27 to 24. And Sam Darnold, man, he did his thing, 246 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah, he looks really good right now. He's arguing right. He's making a good case right now that he could for sure get some money coming into next year. And then going to the Cowboys, shocking the Bucks. All the Bucks had to do was win, and they could still fend off the Falcons. But now that they lost, the Falcons are looking at are now looking at the number 4 seed, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, at the number 4 seed, as they are at the top of that division, and they won against Tampa Bay twice already. So, if Atlanta ends up with the same record as Tampa Bay, Atlanta will end up getting in over Tampa Bay, with Tampa Bay probably looking on the outside looking in. So yes, the NFC is stacked. They're still going. Rams, Falcons, Packers, and Commanders still have not officially got into the playoffs. Bucks and Seahawks are still trying to find a way in, but they're gonna need some help in that as well. So that is going to be something to look at. Going over to the side of the AFC, like I said, the Chiefs end up winning against the Texans, which was big. Chargers end up beating the Broncos, which was huge. Now the Chargers are slightly in front of the Broncos by 1 seed, looking at the 6th seed, and Broncos have the 7th seed. Broncos will have their hands full this week as they have the Bengals coming up on Saturday. So Broncos will really need to win that game, because if not, the Bengals will more than likely have a chance to sneak in, and that's a team that nobody wants to see because just of how good their offense is. Forget how bad their defense is. Their offense is stellar with Burrow and Chase and T. Higgins and Chase Brown doing their things right now. The Indianapolis Colts were able to escape the Titans 38-30 after they were up by a pretty good amount. But regardless, they end up winning the game. Jonathan Taylor had a monumental game on 29 carry, 218 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So, yeah, Colts still trying to see if they could squeak their way in, as they are on the outside looking in at that 8th seed right now. Going to the Dolphins are another team who are trying to sneak their way in. They beat the 49ers 29-17, Tua Tagovailoa 22-34, 215 yards and a touchdown. Devon Achane, 17 carries, 120 yards, a touchdown, and 6 receptions and 70 yards. They right now, as of current, have the number 9 seed. So, yeah, both the AFC and the NFC are very tight right now. Kansas City still holding on to that number 1 slot. More than likely have to win one of their 2 last games, just for them to really stamp their official spot and as the number 1 seed. And then I'm pretty sure that would stamp the Bills' spot as the number 2 seed. The Steelers and Ravens right now are tied. The Steelers still have the tiebreaker over the Ravens because they have a better win percentage in conference games. But that's going to be something that's going to be telling, because the Steelers with George Pickens, is clearly they clearly need George Pickens. George Pickens does a lot. He's able to offset the field and able to open up guys on for deep balls, and able to open up guys like Calvin Austin and Mike Williams and Van Jefferson. So hopefully he can come back soon and he could hit the ground running. But they're obviously trying to preserve him for the playoffs. The Texans, I have them as a first round out, depending on if they play the Ravens, if they play the Steelers, the Chargers, whoever. I have them as a first round out. They can't pass protect for CJ Stroud. And like I said, they just lost Tank Dell, and everything for them kind of kind of runs through Mixon. So if Mixon isn't able to get going, then the offense won't be able to get going, and they'll just end up being, they'll just end up being, like I said, a first round out, and a very drastic difference from year one for CJ Stroud to this year. But you could chalk it up to a sophomore slump, but I'll tell you, just watching this team the whole year, it's basically the offensive line. They just have not been able to protect CJ Stroud, plain and simple. The Chargers, their turnaround has been magnificent. With the salary cap restrictions that they've had coming into this season, Harbaugh is one of the best coaches at this time, and you can't even really argue it for him to come in and able to turn this franchise around on a dime like this is very impressive. And who knows? Hopefully, I hope that they can at least make the playoffs, and they're gonna make somebody's life difficult. As of right now, the seeds staying where they are, they will be playing the Steelers, and they for sure would be making their life difficult. Even though that the fact that they did see them earlier, and the Steelers did come out on top. The Broncos, they would be facing the Bills. Defensively, a good team, kind of falling off a little bit, but still a good team. Bo Nix on the offensive side has been doing his thing. He's able to find his guys and Cam Sutton and other guys like that. And the run game is all right with Estime and Williams. So the Broncos is a team where I don't think no one really fears them, but they know what they are capable of. And if Denver does play to their max potential, they could give somebody some trouble as well. But yeah, this is getting into the nick of things with everything, and very, and I mean, like, I'm very excited to see where these teams will fall, with still playoff spots still up for grabs. Seedings are not in stone yet, so still teams could switch, trust me, a 3 to a 4, a 2 to a 3, or whatever it is. The seedings do change. When they change, they do matter, depending on who can get home field advantage and who can get that first round bye. As of right now, like I said, it looks like it will be the Lions on the NFC and the Chiefs in the AFC. Eagles will just have to look out, obviously, for Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts is he had a concussion in his last game. They had the Cowboys and the Giants, so they should be able to beat both of those teams, and more than likely lock up that number two seed, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe even the one seed, because the Lions don't have a picnic themselves. They have San Francisco, who I believe that they could beat, but they will have the Vikings, who the Vikings are a team that is also, if they could win, then they could move up into that number one seed, and then the Lions will move down to the five seed, which would be huge for Minnesota, if the road to the Super Bowl has to go through Minnesota. Green Bay, I believe that they will get in. They will be a scary team to look at as well. Love is starting to play very well, and the defense is playing well at, well too. So looking forward to what they could do. The Commanders, we just talked about them. Daniels and that team is doing their thing. They just had like one of the best comebacks of the year against the Eagles. Looking forward to what they could possibly do as well. But that this will be our episode for this week. Like I said, Merry Christmas to everybody, and if we don't talk to you, Happy New Year's. I believe that we won't see each other and talk to each other until after the New Year. So yes, Happy New Year. Please be safe. Have fun. Many blessings to you and yours. Like I tell you guys all the time, watch basketball, watch some good football. The college football playoffs are heating up. The NFL playoffs, see which team, if your team is going to get in, which team won't get in. By the way, as of right now, the Giants are looking real good for that number one seed. So who knows what that will look like. As long as I'm guessing, as long as they lose the last two, which they should lose the last two, what they have, I believe they have the Colts and the Eagles coming up. So yeah, that will be that. But other than that, I'm your host, Cam Silver, and I will talk to you guys next week.